This evening's reading is taken from the book of Job, chapter 42. This can be found in the Church Bibles, page 542. Then Job replied to the Lord, "I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, 'Who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge?' Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things I too wonderful for me to know. You said, 'Listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me.' My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes." Epilogue. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, "I am angry with you and your two friends, because you have not spoken the truth about me, as my servant Job has. Now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you, and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to you to your folly. You have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has." So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former parts. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemima, the second Keziah, and the third Kiren-Hapuch. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. This is the word of God.
Let's pray. Father, may the words I share this evening be those that you want spoken. And may each of our eyes and ears, hearts and minds be open afresh to you this evening. Amen. Amen. Now, before we delve into this text this evening, I wanted to share a few words taken from the book Shaking a Fist at God. This is a book on Job entitled Struggling with the Mystery of Undeserved Suffering. Struggling with the Mystery of Undeserved Suffering. A bit of a tongue twister. And it says, the main purpose of religion, even of Christian religion, is not to give an intellectual answer to the most baffling of problems, but to give inner strength and power to gain the victory over trials which provoke the questioning. I'll leave you to ponder on that a moment. It's not to give an intellectual answer to the most baffling of problems, but to give inner strength and power to gain the victory over trials which provoke the questioning. Now, we've been following the book of Job in our evening service, and tonight is the last in this series, with the very last chapter, having just been read to us. 42 chapters on a character who has seen more suffering and turmoil than we can comprehend one person could possibly go through. This suffering came at the hands of Satan, who was given permission by God. The man who has quite possibly the least helpful friends anyone could have. Now, when I was studying at Ridley, one of the modules that we had was on Job. I chose it. I wasn't made to do it. I chose it. And every Wednesday morning, we had the most joyous of mornings, digging into the text of Job. And I'd hoped that I would come away with some answers that would make sense of the suffering that Job experienced. My hope was, I think in reality, that there would be some twist in the middle that I had perhaps missed, that I didn't actually see before, and that all would be just okay with Job, and that his family and his livelihood, with his crops and his livestock, there would be this fairy tale ending. But even in this final chapter, what we see is God replacing the things and the family he has lost with greater and better things. But his family, each child is precious and irreplaceable, individual and unique, unable to be replaced by simply bringing more children into the equation. And there I sat on a Wednesday morning, a bit like that, for a whole term. If we're honest with ourselves, this book hurts. But most of all, I believe this book can help us to be honest with ourselves about the reality that even when we know, even when we follow, and even when we trust in God, there are times when life still hurts, and we still don't understand or have all the answers. This book is real, and this book is raw. Parts of this book may take us to a place where we question whether God rewards the righteous and punishes the wicked. Was Job wicked? What exactly is he being punished for? Is this the God we walk with every day? And here we are at the end, and surely the message his friends have given is in fact right. Job repents and he's rewarded. But of what is he repenting? And the friends? I'm afraid I simply couldn't walk away from the book of Job without continued questioning and I wasn't able to simply say, it's okay, yep, God is good, and there are simply things that I just can't understand. Could I just park those questions, pretend I hadn't asked them, pretend that they weren't there, and not allow them to resurface at some point? But instead, each of us here, each of us that asks questions and are not satisfied with a brush-over answer, you may well find yourself grappling with the book of Job and allowing you to indeed go deeper with God. God is good. And yes, there are things that we don't understand and we won't understand in full. But now we'll have a look and see how we can truly say that knowing God does give us that inner strength and power to gain the victory over trials which provoke the questioning. We're going to look at 3 points this evening. Job recognizes that God and his purposes are supreme. Job's humility is evident, and Job is finally commended. So first, Job recognizes that God's purposes are supreme. And if you want to follow it, it's on page 542 in this chapter 42. That's very convenient, isn't it? Job is responding to God's speeches. God has shown Job things far greater than even his former life had comprehended. He'd been a faithful follower of God. He was a righteous and an upright man. And yet even he had not seen all of this that God had revealed. And verse 5 says, my ears have heard, but now my eyes have seen. As I've already said, there's so much about God that we cannot know, we cannot imagine, and we just cannot comprehend. And when I first fully comprehended God in my life, not when I first knew of God, but when he became a reality, it was truly like my eyes were opened. And naively I thought, that's it, I finally got it, I finally understand. It was a change from the words that I'd heard for years, and there I was, seeing something I hadn't seen before. But it wasn't a destination reached, but it was a significant point on my journey of faith. But I'm still sure that I don't see the whole picture of what God has to show me, all that he is and all that he has in store. We think we know and we can comprehend, but so often we can only see in part. Our understanding is limited. God is far bigger than we can comprehend or even imagine. Perhaps there are times when we limit God into our understanding. It's far more comfortable there, isn't it, when we pack him into a little box that suits us. Faith and spiritual understanding can't be bought. They can't actually be seen. We can see the outworking of them, but they themselves cannot be seen. Faith and spiritual understanding. Job had a relationship with God, and despite his suffering, he continued to have faith. His faith didn't just come out of his suffering, but it did endure the suffering. Despite times of questioning and anger, he was the one who spoke to God. His friends, on the other hand, spoke about God. They had the knowledge. In some part, it was correct. Some of it a bit dubious, but they didn't have a relationship with God in the same way that Job had. Often those that we know, those who understand what we're going through the most, at times of difficulty, they are the ones who can simply sit with us and say nothing. Words can sound like white noise when you're struggling. Words can even irritate you when you're struggling, even when they're given with the best intentions. And although Job's friends did initially sit, it wasn't long before they just had to say something. They had to use words. It overcame them as if they had to try and fix it. They knew what was best. They knew what they needed to say to Job, rather than just simply sit with him. Job's friends were full of these words. But did they talk to God or simply talk about him? Job was able to accept God's plan for his life even when it involved suffering. How often have you heard the well-known passage from Jeremiah? He has plans for you to prosper and not to harm. For those this was intended, these words came in a time of tremendous trial. God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are supreme. And yes, there is a plan. We may not understand the what or the why, but Job walked that dark path knowing and speaking to God. Next, Job is humble. He repents. Therefore, I despise myself and repent of dust and ashes, covered in boils. Very little left. He was sick. He had dubious friends. And there he was in the world. And he repents. He doesn't say to God, well, you got me into this, and therefore I'm owed something. How will you repay me for the suffering in your name? He repents. He repents to someone he recognizes is far, far greater than himself. And he repents with no foreknowledge that anything is coming his way. Success can breed pride. Having all that is good can breed independence. And faith is about humbling ourselves. Humbling ourselves before the creator of the world. And it's about our interdependence with God and with one another. Not dependence, not pride. And in times of struggle, we often want to ask the question, why? Why is this happening? Why me? Why now? But faith is not about the why, but it is about the who. Who is it we humble ourselves before? Job knew the who, knew God because he spoke with him, because he had a knowledge of him, but ultimately his eyes were opened and he saw who God was in all his glory. Job comes to know God more deeply than he ever had done before. Surely this is a foretaste of what is to come for us all. And finally, Job is commended. The friends are reprimanded, the friends that speak of God, but not to him. Job spoke honestly to God and in front of God. His friends, however, appear not to have had that relationship, that living relationship with God. They claim to have all the knowledge, but maybe they didn't really possess it all. They spoke words to Job, maybe to make themselves feel better. They thought they were trying to make Job feel better, but perhaps it was more about them. They said words that just came out. They were easy to say without thinking through or really having a deep knowledge of what was going on there. Maybe you found yourself in a position of trying to comfort someone and suddenly every word that you go to say feels so useless, feels like it falls so far short of what you want to say and the message that you want to give. Perhaps actually this is the God filter. Perhaps it's the time where God says, just sit with them, just be. Words without God in them are perhaps best not said at all. Job is given twice as much as he's lost. I can't remember, I've lost count of how much he was given. I'm not quite sure how big his fields were, but he had a lot of animals there, didn't he? He's given 10 more children, and they were very beautiful girls, three of them girls. And the girls there are given an inheritance. We don't hear much about the boys, do we? But the girls were particularly beautiful, and there they are, given an inheritance. And that was really unusual for girls to have been given that at this time. Job gives in abundance to these children. He has seen abundance, and he gives abundance. And he just seems to receive even more. The friends come and give him gold. But these children don't replace those he had before. But Job, at this point, chooses to live and to love again, even though he knows how much hurt it is when you love and when you live and when it's all taken away. Perhaps one of the hardest points for us to comprehend. But Job did receive blessing. God was victorious, and the picture of resurrection, life after death, and the promise of eternal blessings are anticipated in this picture of Job's life. So Job recognizes that God and his purposes are supreme, beyond our wildest imagination, not fitted neatly into a God-shaped box that we can handle, but far bigger. Job's humility is evident throughout his life, not just when things are going well, in fact, particularly when they're not. His ability to see his need for God. And Job is finally commended. It is not a commendation which comes from his friends, but from God. He's not seeking approval from his friends, and I'm not sure as he was even seeking approval from God. But he receives it. He receives it after he has repented and after he has prayed for his friends. After he recognized that he needed to say sorry to God, a man who's blameless, a man who was humble enough to acknowledge that even he fell short. Let's pray. Father God, we don't seek for you to answer all our questions of pain and suffering through intellectual knowledge, but we seek that we may know you more deeply in our lives, that when we find ourselves in times of trouble, in times of trial, in times of doubt, and when we have questions. We seek that we may know that our inner strength comes from you to endure the trials of life for ourselves and for others, that we may know that you hold the victory over pain and suffering and even death. Amen.
Sure, we all seek that special relationship with God. And maybe this next song, which is very short, says a lot in those few words. Stay with me, remain here with me, watch and pray. So let's sing, shall we?